I just love Christmas. I grew up in a big Italian family back in the Midwest, and Christmas was not a one-day event. It started weeks ahead, making all the raviolis and all the specialty lasagnas and all the good stuff we used to have. And at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, one aunt started her party, and then that would last till 2 o'clock in the morning or so. The kids had walked to midnight mass. We were Catholic back then. Through the snow, it was great. We had a great time. And then we'd get up in the next morning and do our local family thing. And then the next meal started at 11 o'clock at another aunt's house or at my parents' house. And Dad would last till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then the next day, we went back to finish off the leftovers. And there was usually 60 to 80 people around every time because we're a big Italian family. And it was just a lot of fun. But there was a friendship and a fellowship there. And what's important about that, about this season, is that that's what we Christians need to have with each other. Whatever bygones were there, they were gone at Christmas time. Whatever problems we had with anybody else, they were gone. This was a time to celebrate, to be together, to be a family, to be a unit. And for this Christmas season, I'm encouraging everybody to get that way for themselves. It's time to forgive anybody that's offended you in any way, shape, or form. If you need to, reach out. Say hello. That person, they're probably waiting to call you as much as you're waiting to call them. But I'm going to encourage you, let's go into 2019 with total forgiveness toward everybody, in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we get to do a several-part series on fear. This was approved by Pastor Joshua. My wife did the first one 2 weeks ago. If you haven't seen that, please go online and review it. It's fantastic. And the good news is that Pastor Joshua gave her unlimited time on that. So I'm going to take that for here because you've got one page. I've got 8 pages of notes to your one page. Now, Karen and I are going to go see a movie afterwards, and we looked online, and the movie was postponed an hour. So I got an extra hour today. So. But it'll be fun. Quick review. A, what is fear? Fear is trust in the devil's word. Faith is trust in God's word. Okay? Number two, fear is believing evil reports. We all know about the story of the 10 spies that came back with the evil report, the 2 that came back with the good report when they went to the promised land. Okay? Acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. A lot of times we're afraid of nothing. There's nothing really there. It's false. It's a what might happen. Well, ask the Holy Spirit. Okay? We need to get away from allowing Satan's false evidence scaring people. Okay? Fear is the voice of a demonic temptation. You know, I got to give FDR credit for one thing. When they bombed us at Pearl Harbor, one thing he said was, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And that is one of the truest statements that's ever been put out there. If you're not afraid of fear, Satan does not have a stronghold on you. It's one of his biggest weapons. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Okay? So B, how fear works. Fear is designed to attack your faith. Fear and faith are like two sides of the same coin. Fear not, only believe. Now, when you look at Luke 8:50, Jesus was going to heal the sick girl. And while Jesus was speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. He put them outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned. She arose immediately. He commanded she be given something to eat. Her parents were astonished. He charged them, "Tell no one what had happened." Okay. Now, Quick synopsis of that. Satan didn't want that girl to live. He wanted people to speak out that that girl was dead. Jesus knew his power. They didn't. Okay? So, number two, fear tries to introduce doubt and unbelief. When you look at that story, it's both in Mark and in Luke, and in both places, they ridicule Jesus. What did he do? He put the ridiculers outside. If they weren't going to stand with him in faith, he got rid of them. He didn't want their negativity around. Now, the first thing we must do is when people are negative around us, get away from them. Okay? Don't let their negativity bring us down. That is the devil's intention. He's using them as a vessel. They're not bad people, but their negativity will bring you down. When God's giving you something to do, you've got to go do it regardless of what they say. Okay? Don't receive the criticism. Jesus didn't receive the criticism. Jesus basically said, not actually said the words, but his connotation is, I know who I am. You are the same in Jesus Christ as he is. You need to stand that way with that kind of authority when the devil attacks you. Now, I'm going to talk about some things that aren't your thing. Bear with me. You're all mature enough. You know the stories. Gideon was assigned a really big task. And the first thing the Lord did was have those who are afraid go back. 22,000 of his men left and returned. He ended up with a small army of 300. Why? He only wanted the best, truest, most faithful ones to go with him into battle. Because fear can be contagious. You don't want that around you. So we get it out of our lives. Get that resistance out of our ways. You know, many people know I used to own Subway sandwich shops. You can't believe the ridicule I got when I tried to open those sandwich shops. Oh, that'll never work. That'll never work. You know, I had to dismiss them. I know the banker back in 1960 that told the McDonald's franchisee that he wouldn't loan him any money because he thought it was a stupid idea. The franchise did not listen to the banker, went on to make millions of dollars, okay? So when you got something that's right, rest assured, people are going to come against you because Satan will see to it. Don't let that fear attack you, okay? So it says in James 1, 5-8, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, it will be given to him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting. For when one wavers, hesitates, or doubts, it's like a billowing surge out of the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed into the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, he is unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. That's out of the Amplified version. Okay? What it basically says is that when you're confused, when you're double-minded, you're not going to get your blessings of the Lord. Okay? One of the things fear comes from is not knowing. For example, I grew up in the Midwest, and it snows from November till about March. We have icy streets. And you heard me talk about my father, who I love dearly. One day when I was 15 in February, he comes in about 2 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up and says, come on. Now, my dad's a man of few words, but you just do what he said to do. So I get up, we go out in the car, and about a mile and a half from our house is this huge shopping center with this huge parking lot with nothing in it. And he got behind the wheel, and he got the car in a spin, and he got it out of a spin about three times. He got me behind the wheel. I said, okay, now you do it. I couldn't hit anything. Had no fear. I got that car into spins, got out of spins, did this, did that with it, learned how to. Now, this is an old Delta 88 Oldsmobile. This is a Sherman tank, man. You know, this was fun, you know. And then as we were done, he said, okay, now have fun. I spun that car every which way I could, man. I had a great time. Better than Disneyland. The point of the story is, though, next December when I got my driver's license, I had no problem driving on snow or ice because my dad had taken time to teach me what to do. There was no fear in that at all. Not knowing creates fear. So if there's a challenge you have, go look for the answer. Go find somebody who's been there before. With the internet today, it's most people, it's on their phone. Almost anything you need to do to find a solution for anything. It's that quick, okay? Check it out. Find the answer. Don't go in not knowing. And you've eliminated one of Satan's tools against you, okay? Number three, fear brings the devil on the scene. When somebody becomes afraid, it opens a door, okay? I remember reading about Japanese Admiral Yamamoto after they bombed Pearl Harbor. He says, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant." His fears came upon him because he was right. Okay. 6 months after Pearl Harbor, we had the Duleta raid on Tokyo. We bombed Japan. Now, Japan had never been defeated in a war before. They beat Russia. Genghis Khan's grandson, Kublai Khan, attacked Japan and it destroyed the Khan dynasty. That's how tough they were. They were a formidable force. They were second in power behind Germany at that time. The purpose of that attack was not to have a military victory, but to put fear into Japan that there was, they picked on an enemy that could hit their heartland. And it worked. So fear was a weapon we used against Japan. Now, it says in Job 3:25, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." If you're walking around in fear of something, you need to give it to God. Ask him what to do. He'll tell you. Don't figure it out on your own. That puts you back in the not knowing state, wondering what if this, what if that. Okay? Great. Now, number four, fear focuses on the problem, not on the solution. Colossians 3:2, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." God has the answers for any challenge you're going through, any challenge anybody's going through. He has the answers, okay? Luke 12:22-25, "And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious and troubled with cares about your life, as to what you will have to eat, or about your body, or what you have to wear. For life is more than food, and body is more than clothes. Observe and consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more worth are you than the birds? And which of you are being overly anxious and troubled with cares can add a cubit to his stature, or a moment, unit of time, to his age or length of life? Do not be seized with an alarm or struck with fear, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom." Now, if the Lord of everything wants to give you the kingdom, do you have any reason to worry about anything? Stop telling God how big your problem is. Start telling your problem how big your God is. Stop telling God how big your problem is. Start telling your problem how big your God is. Amen. Now, some of the biggest fears that we face, especially men, are the fear of rejection. You know, I remember when I first started to court my bride now, she rejected me for 7 years. I go, "What's wrong with this prophetic woman? Can't she see the truth?" You know? But you know what no means? It means no. It didn't hurt. It didn't stop me. I kept a friendship open. And when the time was right, she finally said yes. Okay? All right? You just don't give up because somebody says no. You know? Elvis Presley was told he would never make it as a singer. The Beatles were told they'd never make it as a group. The list goes on and on. Disney was told 302 times that his plan wouldn't work. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think Henry Ford failed 5 times before he got his Ford factory going right. Coca-Cola sold 65 bottles its first year in business. What does that mean? Don't let rejection stop you. It just means I've got to find a different way to do it. Okay? Now, if God's telling you to stop, that's a different story. But if you've got something in your heart that's a passion, that's a desire for you, the devil doesn't want you to succeed. You're going to give that money to the kingdom. He's going to have trouble. He doesn't want it. He will try to stop you. The biggest enemy the devil has is people who do not quit. Okay? Fear of failure is another one. Abraham Lincoln failed 13 major times before he became president of the United States. Led this country through the most troubling times we've ever had. Freed the slaves. And at the height of the Civil War, when everything was looking gloomest and darkest, he said, "And this too shall pass." Wow. So when the attacks come, look at the devil and says, "This too shall pass." Yeah. Trust me, you're not facing anything like the Civil War. Okay? Great. Failure is merely a chance to improve. Nobody is perfect the first time out. But for some reason, people think they're supposed to be. You see it on TV, the movies, okay? They get it right the first time. Wonderful. 2 hours, we've saved the world. It's not real. It's a movie. It's scripted. Write your own script where it says, "I don't quit because I'm not afraid, and I don't have any reason to stop." Okay? See what fear does. Fear can affect your voice and body. Loss of voice, hair standing up, cold sweats, paralysis, petrified, scared stiff. You know the old deer in the headlights thing? Okay? Right. Fear can affect your mind and emotions. You can't think, confusion, panic, depression, dysfunction. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to control your mind by putting you in a state of fear. He wants to put you in a state where you cannot operate properly. You cannot hear the voice of God. You're functionalist. It's just going to stop and work, and he will stop people in his tracks. That's his whole thing. Okay? By the way, not sleeping tonight does not help. If you got a challenge, give it to God and go to bed and get a good night's sleep. You'll hear him much better in the morning. If you toss and turn all night, you'll still be challenged by the enemy. That's the enemy keeping you asleep, awake at night, because you have an issue or challenge. Okay? I'm a big St. Louis Cardinal fan. My brother-in-law is a big Dodger fan. We went to a Dodger-Cardinal game. Dodgers at that time were in the very last place. They were well under 500. Cardinals took an early lead in the game. And I like watching people. And I watched those Dodgers go up there. They were not fazed by the fact they were in last place. They were not fazed by the fact they were down by a bunch of runs. They were not fazed by anything. They came back and won that game. You could see it in their faces. It didn't matter what happened to them. They showed no fear. I turned to my brother-in-law. They're going to be in the playoffs then this year. That is a caliber team. We must put that kind of caliber out there. When we're attacked, show no fear. We must put that face on. That's okay. We're going to get up and get it again. We're going to go to it. We're not afraid. I don't care if I've been knocked down. I'm going to get up and do it again. It doesn't matter. Satan, you're defeated. Why? Because I can keep getting up. I don't care what challenge you throw at me. I can find an answer for it because I have a God who can help me. And I'm not afraid of you. Fear can affect your heart. Physically, heart skips. People can have heart attacks because of fear. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay. When attacked, go to God. Okay. Now we're going to go back to the story of the 10 spies here. And we're in number B here on section C, 3B. Spiritually built strongholds, grips the heart, can seem like a knife going through the heart. Okay. Just like we saw in the scripture previously, fear is believing the evil reports. Fear can also affect the spiritual heart, as it says in Joshua 2, 9 to 11. And this is the harlot saying to the spies, and it said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Let me read that again. And all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we've heard how your Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. Not just destroyed, utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above, on earth beneath. Now, the only thing that stopped the Israelites from going to the promised land was their own fear. They says, well, we will appear as grasshoppers to those big giants. And they were afraid. When in truth, everybody in the promised land was already afraid of them. They were wondering, why is it taking them so long? Why did they come in and take the land? The truth is, the enemy is afraid of you. The truth is, when you know who you are in Christ, and when you stand up to him in the power of Christ, he is afraid of you. Do not let him put his fear on you to be afraid of him, because you shouldn't be afraid of him, because who is in you is bigger than he is in the world. No more fear. I don't care what challenge is coming at you, God can handle it. Why would there be any fear in any of us? We have Jesus Christ in us. We have all of his power in us. Our only job is to learn how to use it. ABC has those tools. If you haven't done it, start going online. Start doing the exercises. Build up your faith. Build up your skill sets. And start kicking devil tail. Amen? Great. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, at the Amplified version, it says, and the officer shall speak further to the people and say, what man is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him return to his house, lest his brethren minds faint, hearts faint as he does on his own. That goes back to where fear is contagious. Get rid of it. Get anybody around who's pulling you down in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't belong in you. It's not appropriate for you. Okay? We're children of the Most High God. When ancient Rome went anywhere, people trembled. Because they had a reputation before them of how much of a challenge they were, how they could annihilate anything. Egypt, the second most powerful nation in the world, basically signed a peace treaty with Rome because they knew they didn't want to be destroyed. That's how much power Rome had. We have more of that power in us than Rome had in it. We need to walk as though Jesus is in us. Now, I'm not talking about haughtily. I'm not talking about prideful, but humbly. But in confidence and boldness, knowing that my God is inside of me. There's nothing that can go wrong. It doesn't mean I won't have challenges. When those challenges come, we'll overcome them. As we overcome them, more and more people will see this. Say, how come you're so successful? How come you get through these things? I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care what it is. And when they say that, you can tell them about your Jesus. And you can lead them. And we take another step away from the devil. To pull another person into the kingdom. And remember, our first objective is to take dominion over this earth. You take dominion by getting people out of the devil's hands into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Okay. All right, C4. Fear tries to control your tongue and your life. James 3:8. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable, evil, full of deadly poison. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:20 in the Amplified. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message. I like this one. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now, one problem I see with a lot of people is that they don't speak of themselves very well. We've been trained by the media as it be, television, things like that, or peer pressure from people in school or things like that, to curse ourselves. And we cannot control our tongue. So we have to have the Holy Spirit control it for us. We can speak over things in a positive manner over us in every way, shape, or form. Okay? Fear tries to put you in bondage. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now think about this for a second. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That means that Satan has been trying to put people in fear ever since Adam and Eve. Okay? It's been generationally passed down. But by being adopted by God, we don't have that spirit anymore. Okay? No more fear. Okay? You know, you can see fear in someone's face. I remember when I used to play sports a little bit. You take some martial arts. You could read in their eyes if they were afraid. If they were afraid, they didn't stand a chance. Yeah, I'm a big Muhammad Ali fan. Because no matter what battle he went into, this guy showed no fear at all. Till the very end, he did everything he could do. And when he went up against George Foreman, he just looked him in the eye, and he knew, this is my opinion now, Ali's biggest asset was that you couldn't hit him. And he stayed just out of George Foreman's range until George Foreman was done and Ali won the fight. Now listen to me. Your asset is that the devil can't hit you with your shield of faith up. Let him beat on you and let him beat on that shield continuously until he wears himself out and goes away. You've got the weapon. You've got the shield of faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit. You just need to use it properly. I kid you not. 2019 is a year of victory for this church, for everybody in this church, here, on the internet, anywhere, if they will follow these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 5A. Officer put into bondage due to fear of death. Inasmuch as children have partaken in flesh and blood, he himself has shared the same, that through death he might, Jesus, destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, release those who wrought fear, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, we believe in this church, we're going to live until Jesus comes. We're going to live and remain. But there should be no fear of death either, because if death comes, you're just in heaven. And while this is the greatest country in the world, it's still nothing like heaven. So for those people who aren't in this church, that they go on, they still have victory because they're in heaven. We cannot walk in fear. People you know should not walk in fear if they're a Christian, because the worst thing that happens to them is they go to heaven. That ain't a bad trade-off, guys. Okay? That being said, we're all going to stay and remain until Jesus returns. Amen? Great. But if you have no fear of death, it takes away another one of Satan's weapons against you. Okay? So how do you overcome fear? Well, first we confess our sins, including fear. If you have a challenge of fear, okay, don't deny it. But repent of it. Lord, I'm afraid of the fear of XYZ. Okay. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In the Amplified Version, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful, just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us through all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought, action, including unknown sins and the sins of our ancestors. Okay? Denial is of the devil. Speaking it out into being, you have this challenge. Call it a challenge. But confess it. Okay? If fear is your sin, affirm scriptures over fear. Romans 8:15. In the name of Jesus, I did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I received the spirit of adoption by whom I cry out to you, my Abba Father. 2 Timothy 1:7-10. In the name of Jesus, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The devil wants you to have a spirit of fear. But I don't have a spirit of fear. My God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, why is power important? Because you got the strength to fight the devil. Why is love? Because love is one of your greatest weapons. And a sound mind means he can't use mind control against you to confuse you, to put challenges into you, because you have a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? The Amplified. In the name of Jesus, for God did not give me a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven, cringing, and fawning fear, but he's given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a calm, well-balanced mind, discipline, self-control, and sound mind. Verse 10, in the name of Jesus, but has now been revealed by the appearing of my Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality, light to me, light through the gospel to me. Okay. So, if you have a challenge of anything, especially fear, pull out the right verse and do affirmations over it. Weaken the enemy's words against you by using God's words against him. Okay. Number 3, repent, renounce, break. We all know about that through our schoolings. If not, feel free to go online through the healing schools and they'll teach you about that. 4, cast out fear. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. Okay? Number 5, trust God and his word and speak it out. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep and what I have committed to him until that day. Now, just because you're challenged, do not be ashamed. Let me repeat that. Just because you have a challenge, do not be ashamed. It's okay to be challenged. But there's no shame in that. Okay? Just look at the problem, go to the Holy Spirit, and see what do we do about it. You know, Karen and I are talking this, and I said this once before, I'll repeat it because it's important now. I work in a really great office. And their attitude is, if there's a problem, tell them about it. They don't get mad. They don't rant and rave. They don't carry on. They say, okay, what are our solutions? We gather with a solution. So let's get it done. That's how they handle it every single time. If that solution doesn't work, we go back. We have another meeting, discuss what's a better way to handle it. And we get it done. That's all you have to do. So if you're challenged by something, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? If you didn't hear right, go back to him again. He doesn't mind. It's not a pride thing. I didn't hear the first time. Okay? But we're going to kick fear out of our lives. Kick every challenge out of our lives. Number 5, trust God and his word and speak it out. 2 Timothy 1:2. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know I am believed and persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Romans 4:21. And being fully convinced of what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you believe that God is able to perform for you what he's promised for you? If not, let's talk after service, okay? Okay. Number 17, as this is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which not as though they were. Abraham was told at 100 years old he'd be the father of many nations. That's an act of faith to believe that, but he did. Okay. Verse 17, as it is written, I made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of him who he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks to the non-existent things that he foretold and promised as if they already existed. Okay, your victory has been foretold by Jesus Christ. It's been foretold by the Holy Spirit. Whatever challenge you're going through, you have a victory. You just need to pull it from the manifestations. I don't care what challenge you're going through. Do not be afraid. The devil wants you to be afraid, because when you're afraid, you can be beaten. When you walk in with the boldness of Christ inside of you, when you walk in the boldness of Christ inside of you, you're undefeatable. The key words are no fear, no quitting. Okay? Number 6, we fast, pray, and affirm. Everybody needs to have a fast lifestyle. Pick out what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and fast something. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. In the Amplified, keep and guard your heart with all diligence. Ball that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Okay? Number 8, walk in love. Perfect love cast out all fear. You mothers here, ever seen a child that's hurt come running to you, and all you got to do is hug that child, and they suddenly feel better? Because your perfect love cast out his fear. Okay? God loves us the same way a mother loves a child. Go to him. I have a challenge. I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. No problem. He's there for us. He's there for us 24/7. He's there for us anytime we need him. We must go to him. Don't be tired of going to him. He's not tired of you coming to him. Okay? Number 9, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In the Amplified, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Okay? Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. But you keep going to God and say, thank you, God, for my victory. Thank you, God, for my victory. Thank you, God, for my victory. Pick your affirmation out. Keep saying it over and over again. And believe until it's been healed. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Whatever your problem is. My financial situation has been taken care of by Jesus. God has promised to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever the issue is. There's a verse in there. Stick on it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. You repeat it because as you speak it, you hear it. When you hear it, your heart believes it. When your heart believes it, you're undefeatable. Amen? Number 10. Cast your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, of him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's our God. Our God cares about us completely, totally, 100%. Okay? You've heard the phrase false evidence appears real. Okay? Next time you're challenged by a fear attack, I want you to say this one. Face everything and rise. Face everything and rise. You know, the devil comes at you. Face him. Rise right up to him. Think about this for a second. The power of Jesus is in you, right? And when Jesus ran into the legion, which were thousands of demons, he cast them into a herd of pigs. So when that demon shows himself up to you, say, look, you got a choice. You can leave peacefully, or I'm going to cast you into a pig. Right? You tell him, these are your choices. Go to a dry place, a faraway country, or I'm going to cast you into a pig. Which do you want? But that pig's going to run into the abyss, and you're going to be there. Okay? I can cast you into a pig on the other side of the world. Doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want to with you. I have the power of Jesus in me. Okay? All right? That kind of confidence against Satan's enemy, Satan's team, will weaken them. There's nothing they can do to you. Amen? And I'm going to close with this phrase, and then I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. Every victory that you need is on the other side of fear. When you overcome fear, victories will line up for you. Continuously, never ending. Okay? You do what Jesus tells you to do, what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, victories will come. Continuously, never ending. One after the other, after the other, after the other. Interesting things about victories. Once you have one, the second one's easier, the third one's easier, the fourth one's easier, the fifth one's easier yet. Amen? Okay. So I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. Now, for those of you who are not trained in how to keep demons away, do not cast them out. Okay? The Bible says if the demon leaves and he comes back with seven worsers, you got to be ready to keep them away. So I don't want anybody casting anything out and causing more problems to them. So if you can cast out, and you know how to do that well, feel free to cast demon of fear out. If not, we're going to bind it up and make it null and void. Fair enough? If you want to learn how to cast out demons right, go to ABC Schools Online, start the program, do all the exercises. Be sure you do everything to prepare for that, because the last thing you want to do is make a mistake, not be wise, and have more challenges coming upon you than you need. Fair enough? Okay, all right. I'm going to pray first, then I'll lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, worship, I glorify your holy name. I thank you for everything you've done for us, for all the leading that you give us and the guidance. Father, we're taking on the enemy of fear this season. I know you've given Pastor Karen and I these two Sundays, the next two Fridays to do, and possibly one in January to do this, because this is so important to you. I ask you to lead us and guide us here. I ask you to help us build a big foundation that this team of people that you put together can be so successful in every area of their lives that people be radiated to them to know why and to come and find out about your Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. So if you can repeat after me, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind up fear and all of his minions. I silence them. I wash them down with rivers of living water that they cannot influence me in any way, shape, or form. And I go forth with the boldness that you've put in me because I am a follower of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Whenever I have a problem, the Holy Spirit is free to teach me how to handle that challenge. And I stand here in faith against the devil, so he will flee from me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.